This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A warning about Zika. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka, on this Tuesday, August 2nd. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Federal health officials are sounding alarms over the Zika virus in a Miami neighborhood, saying spraying isn't working to kill enough mosquitoes. Hear the message for pregnant women.
Donald Trump calls Hillary Clinton the devil. However, a new CNN poll finds Mrs. Clinton has regained her lead over Mr. Trump.
Overseas, the U.S. has been firing on Islamic State targets from the sky in Libya, allowing forces there to regain some territory from ISIS.
And on the finance front, you know you're tempted by the low mortgage rates. So here's the question. Is it possible to refinance too often?
One common rule of thumb is to think about, well, how far has the interest rate come down, right? So they say that generally speaking, if the interest rate that you can get today on a mortgage is at least one percentage point lower than the rate that you currently have on your mortgage, well, then it might be more likely that it'll make financial sense for you.
Janelle Marte at the Washington Post on whether to refinance again. She's here in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is trying to change the subject on the campaign trail after a weekend dust-up with the parents of a Muslim U.S. Army captain killed in Iraq. Mr. Trump used a rally in Columbus, Ohio yesterday to discuss economic issues and then said he was afraid the election was going to be rigged.
I'm afraid the election's going to be rigged, I have to be honest. Because I think my side was rigged. If I didn't win by massive landslides, I mean, think of what we won in New York and Indiana, California, 78%. That's with other people in the race.
Mr. Trump didn't mention the parents of Captain Humayun Khan, whose speech last week at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia ignited the campaign's latest controversy. Meanwhile, writing in the Wall Street Journal today, columnist William McGurn describes the Trump campaign as one that's always on offense, a strategy that's in good part a creature of the ugly campaigns Democrats have run against Republicans for decades, and he cites examples. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett is challenging Mr. Trump to release his tax returns. He spoke as Democrat Hillary Clinton campaigned in Omaha, Nebraska, where she's looking for one extra electoral vote in that specific congressional district. Mr. Buffett, the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, also sarcastically mocked Mr. Trump, disputing his claim that he can't release his tax returns because of a continuing audit by the IRS.
How many of you would be afraid to have your tax return made public? It does not. No. You're only afraid if you got something to be afraid about.
As critics are pointing out, Mr. Buffett did not call on Mrs. Clinton to release anything of hers that some would like to see, such as her transcripts of speeches to Wall Street groups. Meanwhile, the Nebraska Democratic Party says Mrs. Clinton is the first Democratic presidential nominee to campaign there since Franklin Roosevelt in 1936. And the last time the state voted for a Democratic presidential candidate was in 1964. Well, for Democrats looking to take governor's seats from Republicans this November, the stars may align in two unlikely states, Indiana and North Carolina. And Wall Street Journal reporter Julian Routh says the party's improving prospects are being driven by unexpected sources, GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump, and a pair of national controversies. Julian, what have you found?
It is an unconventional year, so you have two really unpopular incumbents in North Carolina and Indiana, and Democrats are hoping to link these incumbents to two pretty unpopular bills they signed during their terms. So in Indiana, you have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which at its core allows individuals to cite religious beliefs when sued, but it did cause a national uproar alleging that it unfairly discriminated against LGBT people. And then in North Carolina, you have House Bill 2, which is otherwise known as the Transgender Bathroom Bill, And that also caused a national uproar. So you have Democrats hoping to capitalize on this time.
All right. So how much an issue, I guess, does it play broadly in the state? Enough to make a difference, I guess, if people do come out and vote?
I would say so, yes. There has been some internal polling done. The Democrats are very confident that if they can keep driving this issue home, that it can have an impact at the ballot box. And you also have Republicans sort of receding to on the defense in these states, which isn't good news for them.
Yeah. All right. So what is the defense, I guess, in Indiana and North Carolina?
Well, in North Carolina, you have Governor Pat McCrory saying that this is a distraction, that this bill is a diversion from the real issues at stake in the election, that the debate should be on his economic record. And then in Indiana, this bill, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, was passed by Mike Pence, who is now Donald Trump's vice presidential pick. So the person who's taking his place there, Eric Holcomb, might not have to deal with the direct criticism that much because he didn't pass the bill. He didn't sign the bill into law. But his defense is most likely going to be that he did not play a role in signing the bill.
Got it. All right. So Democrats have their sights set on possibly flipping Republican governorships in Indiana and North Carolina. Do Republicans have similar sights on flips where Democrats are in the governor's mansions?
Yes. Republicans are trying to play offense in three key states. They're trying to play offense in West Virginia, Missouri, and New Hampshire. Those are all currently held by Democrats, and all of those are actually labeled toss-ups by the Cook Political Report. So they are looking to play offense there, but they're going to have to balance that with playing defense in these two rather red states, the purplish side of red, I like to call it.
Got it. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal political reporter Julian Routh. This piece is called Democrats Look to Capitalize on Controversy in Governor's Races. Are there particular issues in West Virginia, Missouri, and New Hampshire? You mentioned that Republicans are trying to pin on Democrats.
Well, these are races that are held by so in Missouri, you have Jay Nixon, who's the outgoing governor, but, you know, a term limit scenario there. New Hampshire, you have Maggie Hassan, and then West Virginia, you have Earl Ray Tomlin. And in West Virginia, particularly, they're trying to nail home the coal issue in terms of the economy there. And Jim Justice is trying to run the defensive campaign there on his part. Really, it is going to be a focus, though, on Indiana and North Carolina. I mean, these two are going to be the most contentious races, and I think Republicans, particularly the Republican Governors Association, is going to sink the most money into those states.
Yeah. All right, so where are those states right now in terms of polling, in terms of, I guess, the incumbent governors there?
Well, polling, actually, there hasn't been much polling done in Indiana because you have Eric Holcomb, who has pretty much 100 days to build and run a campaign, so they haven't polled that state yet. But internal polling in North Carolina says that actually Roy Cooper, who is challenging Pat McCrory for his spot, he actually has a 3 to 4 point advantage in the polls. And it's also interesting to note that both of these Democratic candidates are far out fundraising the Republican incumbents, which is rare, especially in North Carolina. So you do see them striking some momentum here.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal political reporter Julian Routh. It is 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and performance that's 4 times faster when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Dell.com/radio.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's a top 10 pro-business state, where 2,000 unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate? All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Disappointing news from the CDC regarding an outbreak of the Zika virus in Miami. Officials yesterday warned pregnant women to avoid the Wynwood neighborhood, where it's believed mosquitoes may be transmitting the virus or they should take precautions if they live or work there. The warning also goes for women planning to become pregnant. Florida health officials recently found 10 new cases of Zika in that area north of downtown Miami. Also disappointing, CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says spraying, removing standing water, and other efforts have failed to kill off many mosquitoes.
We don't know the long-term impact Zika may have on children born to infected mothers who don't have obvious signs of microcephaly, and these effects may only become apparent months or years in the future.
Zika can be devastating to fetuses, yet spreads quietly, infecting most people without causing any symptoms. Dr. Frieden said health officials expect more infections to be found as they continue testing people in the affected area, and the outbreak could go on for some time, but he said they don't expect it to spread widely. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. has launched a new campaign of airstrikes aimed at dislodging ISIS from its stronghold in Libya. Pentagon spokesman Peter Cook.
The United States conducted precision airstrikes against ISIL targets in Sirte, Libya, to support GNA-affiliated forces seeking to defeat ISIL in its primary stronghold in Libya.
Cook says the U.S. is targeting ISIS military infrastructure, such as tanks, high-caliber weapons, and command and control nodes using precision ordnance. Libyan officials claim the strikes caused severe losses to enemy ranks. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says he fears the general election is going to be rigged. Trump made the claim in Ohio after first suggesting that the Democrats had fixed their primary system so Hillary Clinton could defeat Bernie Sanders.
I'm afraid the election's going to be rigged, I have to be honest, because I think my side was rigged. If I didn't win by massive landslides, I mean, think of what we won in New York and Indiana, California, 78%. That's with other people in the race.
Earlier this year, Trump complained the Republican primary system was also rigged amid party efforts to stop his march to the candidacy. At another rally in Pennsylvania, Trump took the unprecedented step of directly calling Hillary Clinton the devil. Large areas of southern China are on emergency alert as a powerful typhoon batters the region. The typhoon hit Hong Kong today with high winds and torrential rain, forcing schools, businesses, and transport services to shut. Singapore's prime minister says the U.S.'s credibility is on the line over the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Lee Hsien Loong is urging ratification despite growing political opposition in the U.S. to the 12-nation free trade pact. Lee spoke at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce ahead of a meeting today with President Obama at the White House. An investigation Discovery Channel is joining forces with best-selling author James Patterson, who will write and produce a six-part scripted series for the network. The shows will be based on ID-branded true crime stories written for Patterson's new line of novella-length books that will be released in conjunction with the on-air 2017 premiere of the series. Each thriller, roughly 150 pages in length, will be available for less than $5.
That's pretty cool. I like Patterson's books, at least some of the ones I've read, because I feel like the chapters are only a page and a half.
So I really feel like you've accomplished something every 15 chapters.
And my concentration levels are so poor to begin with. Like, I can hold on for that page and a half and still be focused on the book and feel like I'm making tremendous progress getting through it.
Yeah, his books are a little creepy for me.
23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for joining us. You're getting notices in the mail. You've seen the ads online. Your friends are talking about it. Is it worth it to refinance your mortgage yet again? Janelle Marte at the Washington Post says with mortgage rates so low, many homeowners may be thinking about doing it again, but they should do the math before they decide. Janelle, explain.
So if you have been following, mortgage rates are still pretty low. They're still near historic lows. And we've been sort of previously concerned that they might start to increase. And of course, in the long term, they are expected to increase as the economy improves and the Federal Reserve eventually will increase interest rates a little bit more. But for now, they're still low. And so some people might be wondering, hey, should I refinance? And, you know, if they've already done it in the past couple of years to take advantage of these falling rates, they might be wondering, is it possible to refinance too much, too often? And really, of course, the answer is that it really depends on your situation. I mean, for some people, even if you did refinance in the last couple of years, depending on what rates have done since then, it might make sense for you to refinance again. But you really need to look at the costs is the takeaway.
Yeah. All right. So explain some of the rules of thumb that we should abide by.
So one common rule of thumb is to think about, well, how far has the interest rate come down, right? So they say that generally speaking, if the interest rate that you can get today on a mortgage is at least one percentage point lower than the rate that you currently have on your mortgage, well, then it might be more likely that it'll make financial sense for you. But it's never really quite that straightforward. Some people who are going to see a lower or a smaller change in their interest rate might still save money, but it'll come down to their closing costs and how long they will plan to be in that house.
Yeah. We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at the Washington Post, and her piece is called, Is It Possible to Refinance Too Often? How about first-time home buyers? Any signs of life on that front of these low rates brought them in? I know that's a little off the beaten path for refis.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that refinancing is much more sensitive to changes in interest rates than first-time home buyers, because that's still going to come down to the affordability of the home and going to come down to are you in a place financially where you can make this kind of decision? And so so for sure, we are seeing more people buying homes overall, but I would say that because homes are in some parts of the country still a little bit so expensive and maybe even rising in value faster than wages, I wouldn't say it's much. We're seeing a huge surge in first-time home buyers. And again, interest, when it comes to a change in interest rate, you're going to see that reflect more immediately in the refinancing market.
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at the Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday, August 2nd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The CDC warns pregnant women to avoid the Wynwood neighborhood of Miami because of Zika. The U.S. is hitting ISIS with airstrikes in Libya. Trump calls Clinton the devil. But a new CNN poll shows Hillary has regained her lead over Trump following the Democratic convention. National night out in many towns this evening. Olympics just 3 days away. Samsung unveils its new phablet today. Researchers try to put the benefits of wine into a pill. And a great story about a desperate Memphis teenager getting help for him and his family. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, as you know, little has united presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump over the past year, but they could have supported each other through difficult campaign logo rollouts. It's a story from Sam Schwartz, editorial fellow at National Journal. He's got a behind-the-scenes look at the design of logos and their importance. Sam, tell us about the logos.
So the Hillary Clinton logo was unveiled over a year ago now, and when it first came out, it was pretty widely panned. It was, the arrow was facing to the right, and it was red, so everyone was basically saying this is a conservative logo.
Right.
Is she saying that she's going to be moving to the right? Or is she saying more center, kind of, is she advancing the left? And then as time went on, it became adapted. And so, for example, for LGBT Pride, they turned the arrow and they made it a rainbow flag. And so the fact that it was very adaptable kind of helped it. And also the fact that it was perfectly sized to fit like a Facebook profile picture, a Twitter cover photo, things like that helped it a lot. And so I think it was kind of over time accepted, and now it's been pretty widely applauded.
Got it.
So the Trump logo at first was pretty simple. His slogan, Make America Great Again, was prominently featured, and his name. That was it. And then when they picked Pence, is kind of when everything went south, because it seemed kind of like they rushed the process a little bit. And so the T and the P were monogrammed in a way that raised some eyebrows, you could say, both for the way the T intersected the P, okay, and for the kind of thought of toilet paper that people had when they looked at it.
Right. So just thinking out loud here then, if the Trump campaign had given it time, would it have stuck the way the Clinton campaign logo did? Because sometimes, you know, you can have a knee-jerk reaction and change things when, in fact, I don't know, a day or two may have gone by, it would have blown over. I don't know what the approach was.
So I think they made the right move abandoning it, because the Hillary campaign's logo was panned because it was kind of new in the rightward-facing era, whereas the Trump campaign's logo was kind of sexualized. I don't know a better way to say that.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think that would have been the discussion, and I don't think it would have been one as easily abandoned as an arrow.
Right.
So I think by just abandoning it, sticking with Trump, Pence, the names, and Make America Great Again, they simplified it. It tells their campaign story. That's all they needed.
Yeah. All right, and so on the Hillary Clinton side, too, this was adaptable also to include Senator Tim Kaine on signage and logos as well?
So it was a little bit tricky for sure, because it was the H with the arrow. And so instead of just having the H with the arrow, they included Kaine in some way. I think the way that they did it was they were prepared in advance for, so if you in the story I talked about how USA Today reported that they had mocked up 16 different logos with first names and last names of multiple potential campaign running mates, whereas the Trump camp didn't do that. And so they were prepared for the situation, and it was adaptable because they had thought through all the kinks and they realized this is what they could do.
I know that there was one person you talked to in your story who talked about the two cardinal sins when it comes to logo design. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So the first one was, on a serious note, he said never do anything without preparing. And I think that was a shot at the Trump-Pence logo, how it was rushed and how, because it seems like the way it was done was Pence, Trump wasn't sure that Pence was going to be his pick until about 10 minutes before he tweeted it out, is kind of how it's been reported.
Right.
And so it's pretty clear that they weren't prepared for everything that was going to happen. And so the Hillary campaign, on the other hand, was very prepared. And so I think the parallels between that and the differences in the campaigns kind of, that was number one. And then number two, he said never use Comic Sans.
Thanks, Sam Schwartz, editorial fellow at National Journal. No Comic Sans. Skip that font at all costs, apparently. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, from Reese and Irvy's, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
Wait, you mean I can own my own frozen yogurt robots?
And make money at the same time. These robots are the future of frozen yogurt franchising. They can be placed almost anywhere and operate 24/7. Malls, theme parks, grocery stores, you name it.
A robot that serves frozen yogurt. That's revolutionary.
Exactly. Reese and Irvy's Froyo robots are taking the market by storm. No more messy yogurt bars, long lines, or do-it-yourself machines. Just delicious frozen yogurt in 60 seconds or less. Anytime, anywhere.
How do I get my own Reese and Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 2222. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 2222.
Glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there's nothing like a pre-dawn phone call from Red Sox slugger David Ortiz to get you out of bed in the morning, unless you're a Yankees fan, of course. That's the idea behind a Boston Public Schools initiative that starts next month, when middle and high school students will be able to sign up for wake-up calls from Big Poppy. If Poppy calls you and you pick up the phone, he'll say, "Wake up, it's David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. Get out of bed and get ready for school." school, the future is yours. Boston School Superintendent Tommy Chang said that the goal of the Ortiz calls is to help kids get to school on time and fight absenteeism. With Ortiz wrapping up his final season with the Sox, Chang's office says it may tap the New England Patriots for a future call, so maybe Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski could be rousing students next.
I like that idea.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, I would assume that David Ortiz would not be someone who would necessarily inspire you to get out of bed if he was to call you, but okay. Who would that be? Maybe like, if, I don't know, Sandra Bullock maybe gave you a call?
I see where you're going with that.
Trying to think of who your inspiration would be to get you to jump out of bed, because, you know, obviously we get out of bed very early in the morning, so it's going to take a little extra inspiration.
Very good.
Nobody on the Jets, most likely.
Elle McPherson.
Oh, sure.
On my list. Mm-hmm. Christy Brinkley.
Right.
Yeah, those two are going to come to top of
Right. And obviously, if there was a video phone call involved,
oh,
you know.
Look at you.
I mean, FaceTime type situation, maybe.
Could you launch? I mean, what are your tech skills like? Could you launch something like that?
You and I might have something to work on.
Here's
today.
The Christy Brinkley wake up video. Wow.
There you go.
That's a pretty good idea, though. I like that what Boston's doing there. That's good.
Definitely. And Gordon, NBA great Tim Duncan is looking for his next job, you might have heard. So one enterprising fan made sure that Duncan has an updated LinkedIn page worthy of a five-time champion and two-time MVP. NBA writer Steve Kyler pointed out Duncan's fake page and his particular set of skills. The summary says that Duncan was a member of the San Antonio Spurs for 19 years, and he played and excelled at power forward and center positions. Some of Duncan's responsibilities included scoring in the low post against a wide variety of competitors, blocking and altering opponent's shots, and spearheading late-game scoring comebacks. There were also some that translate well outside of the basketball realm, such as onboarding recently traded for coworkers, mentoring young coworkers and helping them reach their goals, as well as engaging the locker room in Socratic dialogue.
I like that.
How about
one.
That?
Yeah, it's good.
Very highbrow.
It's good. I was thinking also comfortable working evenings.
Yes.
Right, Tim Duncan? Very used to travel.
Yes, definitely. You know,
perhaps he was a sales rep job.
Yep. Good traveler. Certainly willing to travel.
As long as you get the extra leg room.
Right.
Airline seats,
right.
Of course. And physical labor is okay.
There you go.
So
who would not hire Tim Duncan
right?
at this point?
He's got everything.
There's nothing an employer wouldn't want.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for joining us. Scientists seem to be getting closer to harnessing one of red wine's most elusive, health-giving ingredients and putting it into a pill. The ingredient, resveratrol, has been touted for years as something that could potentially protect against things like heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's. But as the Wall Street Journal points out, testing those benefits in humans has proved complex. That's because resveratrol occurs naturally in red wine at very low concentrations and in combination with many other substances. A recent human study says resveratrol can be effective if you had a daily amount contained in 1,000 bottles of red wine, right? So that's not going to work. But such high doses can lead to side effects such as nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Now scientists hope to overcome that problem by increasing the potency of resveratrol at more moderate doses. Researchers suspect the substance is more effective when accompanied by other ingredients found in red wine and are now developing a pill that would mimic the naturally occurring synergies. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, government health officials are warning pregnant women to avoid a Zika-stricken part of Miami. They're also telling couples who have been in the Wynwood District recently to put off having children for at least 2 months. CDC Director Tom Frieden.
We advise pregnant women to avoid travel to this area and pregnant women who live or work in this area and their partners to make every effort to avoid mosquito bites and to prevent sexual transmission of Zika.
The number of people believed infected with Zika through mosquito bites in the U.S. has climbed to 14. Hillary Clinton has gotten a campaign boost from Warren Buffett. The billionaire investor says he'll do whatever it takes to defeat Donald Trump, including escorting people to the polls himself. He also called on the real estate mogul to release his tax returns.
How many of you would be afraid to have your tax return made public. It does not. No. You're only afraid if you got something to be afraid about.
Buffett is the latest in a series of business leaders attacking Trump as Clinton seeks to attract moderate and independent voters. Sources close to Trump's campaign says he has fired senior advisor Ed Brookover. A statement from the campaign confirmed Brookover had left. He joined the Trump campaign in March and was appointed in June to serve as a liaison between the campaign and the Republican National Committee. Defense attorneys of accused killer Dylan Roof have filed a legal challenge to the death penalty. Roof's attorneys filed the motion, stating that they would drop the challenge if prosecutors dropped their pursuit of the death sentence in his case. Roof is accused of killing 9 people at an African-American church in Charleston last year. And Disney World may one day be able to keep track of its theme park visitors by their feet. Disney recently received a patent for new technology that would use a sensor and cameras to help identify visitors. The data received could then be customized for the guest experience. Currently, Disney World can track guests with magic bands, hotel keys, fast passes, and credit cards.
Oh, that's all?
That's all. One now, more way to follow you around.
Now
see
they
what
need
you're
our
doing.
Feet. Oh, we see, Mr. Deal, you've been standing in line for 3 hours for Soarin'. Why don't you come right this way?
Soarin' was closed the last time I was there. That's my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Me
I know
too.
It's not some crazy roller coaster, which I also like, but I love Soarin'.
Me too.
That's a good one. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Quite the story unfolding in Memphis about a destitute teenager. About a month ago, the Commercial Appeal newspaper told the story of 15-year-old Chauncey Black and his chance encounter at a Kroger supermarket with a guy named Matt White. The teenager was asking customers if he could carry their groceries to the car in exchange for food. After several people turned him down, Chauncey asked the same of Mr. White. Mr. White bought him a week's worth of food, took the teenager home, and was horrified at his situation. No mattresses, no food, grandmother is disabled. So Mr. White told the world Chauncey's story. And thanks to a crowdfunding website, some $350,000 has been donated to the family. A trust has been created to protect the money, too. And thanks to some more good luck, the family got a great deal on a new house. Remaining money will be for future education. This week, Mr. White will take Chauncey and his brother to Bartlett High to register for school this fall. By the way, there is a black person and a white person involved in this story. Irrelevant which is which. It's good to hear just people helping people. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.